Philippians chapter number 2. Let's get on with this short message. Amen. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick nigh to death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Let the church say amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. You know, we've been preaching through the book of Philippians and dealing with the subject of joy. How many are thankful for joy? I'm glad it comes from God. You know what that means? That you don't have to be of some economic status to afford it. You know what it also means? You can have all the money in the world and not be able to afford it. It's a God thing. It's a spiritual matter. You can get happiness from happenings, but you get joy from Jesus. And Paul writes on this subject uniquely from jail, showing us that circumstances should not steal our joy. If they do, then we didn't have joy from the right place in the first place. Joy is based on our relationship with God. He taught us in Philippians chapter 1 that joy comes from a single mind, centered on the gospel, our fellowship in the gospel. We have that in common, the furtherance of the gospel. We want to see it spread all around the world. And even when trials come, if God has to put a trial in my life to further the gospel, that ought to bring me joy. My faith in the gospel. I cannot maintain joy if I change what I believe. By the way, behaving right is based on believing right. There's a whole lot of people trying to get themselves to do right, and they'll never do right until they believe right. So joy comes from a single mind. We saw joy comes from a submissive mind. And here's where we've been in chapter number 2. We've seen this submission. He said, if there be any consolation, we see this exhortation to submission. Fulfill you my joy. We see, if you would, the epitome of submission in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody showed submissiveness more than the Lord. He who sat the highest came down to the lowest, and God showed him that the way up is always down. Because he humbled himself, God lifted him up. And if you ever want to be honored, you first better be humbled. And then he begins to tell us, if you would, the execution of a submissive mind. Work out your own salvation. Submit yourself. Realize it is the work of Christ that gets you saved. And the work of Christ inside of us ought to determine us to work out our salvation. We are not saved by works. We are saved by grace. But the work of grace in our life that secures our salvation should motivate us to get the most out of our salvation by working it out. And then we looked the last several weeks at the examples of submission. And Paul gave us 2. The first being Timothy, exemplifying the servant companion. And then Epaphroditus, the supportive comrade. We saw Paul's sincere characterization of Epaphroditus. He called him, if you would, his brother, his companion in labor, his fellow soldier. And by the way, when we're in this thing called the work of God together, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. That's an affectionate connection. But we're also companions in labor. That's an assisting contribution. But we're also fellow soldiers. That's an allied combatant. By the way, we are in a battle. We need some more soldiers. We are in the work. We need some more laborers. And we are in a family. We need to act like brothers and sisters. The solid caliber of this man. He was an effective messenger from them. He was an endearing minister to Paul, and he had exemplary motives. Notice what he said. He longed after you all. He had a heart for people. His heart was full of heaviness. You had heard that he had been sick, and Paul said he didn't want to be a burden to you. He didn't want to get you down. In other words, he put himself last so that he could be a blessing to other people. Now listen to me now. If there were more Christians who would put themselves last, we wouldn't have so many needs. You wouldn't have to worry about your own problems. You'd get your mind on somebody else's problems, and somebody else would get his mind on yours. That's how God works it out. Supernatural compassion. He was indeed sick unto death. I love this statement. God had mercy on him. How many of you thankful for the mercy of God? How many of you are well aware of the fact that there were some times in your life where if God's mercy hadn't showed up, you wouldn't be here tonight? Jeremiah understood it. He forgot about it for a little while, and when he got his mind off of it, he plunged down into depression. He was ready to quit. He wasn't ready to quit because God had failed him. He wasn't ready to quit because his circumstances were bad. He wasn't ready to quit because nothing was going for him. He was ready to quit because he got his mind off of the truth. And when he said in Lamentations chapter 3, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of thy mercies that we are not consumed. It is of thy mercies that we are not consumed. It is of thy mercies that we are not consumed. It is of thy..." What do you mean, Pastor? Stop acting like you here because you're smart, because you work out good, or because you eat healthy. You here because of God's mercy. Some of his mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. When you decide not to be loving, you better be glad God wakes you up every morning and still loves you. Great is his faithfulness. This desperate predicament, this divine provision, God showed up, and this definite protection we saw last week. God's mercy on Epaphroditus was not only a blessing to Epaphroditus, but it was a blessing to Paul. Notice the last statement, verse 27, "Lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Listen to what he's saying. God's miracle in my friend's life was a blessing to me. Watch this now. Here's what Paul said. God knew if I lost my friend, the burden of prison and the burden of losing him would be too much for me. That's why you don't need to just get happy when God blesses you. Sometimes he blesses somebody to be a blessing to you. And I'm glad that when God knew one more tick, one more burden, one more straw would break our backs, I'm glad that God came through for somebody else, not only to help them, but to help us. Now look, if you would, tonight at the strategic commission. "I sent him, therefore." Now you see, Philippians, why Epaphroditus is somebody I'm sending. I don't want to send anybody. If I can't be there with you because I'm in prison, then I'm going to send somebody that's got a heart like me. And this man does. I made a careful decision to send him, more carefully. There's a Christian delight in his being sent. "When ye see him again, ye may rejoice." How many of you know when you're going through a hard time, it does your heart good to see somebody show up that walks with God? Listen to me. I'm just telling you the honest truth. I don't want no carnal person around when I'm going through it. My mother-in-law used to say, "You don't want everybody praying for you." She did. She went through cancer and she took it hard. She said, "I don't ask everybody to pray for me. Some people liable to mess you up talking to God about you." I'm telling you what, listen. Let me tell you something. When I got a burden, I want to tell you something. There's some saved folk. They're not just going to heaven. They walk with God. I'm not talking about saved. Not only saved, they're separated folks. They're spiritual folks. They're serving folk. They're sincere folk. I want to be on their prayer list. You know why? They got a connection with God. Their minutes don't run out. Amen. God doesn't see them coming and ask, "Who are you?" They don't visit him sporadically. They don't check in with him infrequently. They're not fair weather friends. They're not sometimey. They're not shady. They're not hit and miss. They come to the garden alone. They meet God every day. They know the secret place. They know the strength in aloneness. And when I get around those folks, somehow it makes me feel better. That's why it's good to come to church. Amen. I'm not coming to church. I had a bad day. That's more of a reason to come to church. You need to get away from them devils and get around somebody that walks with God. Amen. Sometimes it's before the message even starts. It's before the service even begins. It's before anybody even says anything. I mean, you can just sense the Spirit of God on somebody's life. I mean, the Spirit bears witness when you walk around some people that'll sit. Listen to me. Not every church is like that. Not every saved person is like that. I like to be around people that I can tell have been around God. He said, when y'all see him, rejoice. And the comforting delivery, that I may be less sorrowful. Here's Paul saying. Paul said, I'm going to be happy when you're happy. When Epaphroditus gets there, I know that when he gets there, you're going to rejoice. And when I know that you're rejoicing because he got there, he said, it's going to take some of my sorrow away. Doesn't it make you feel better when people you care about are taken care of? By the way, you ought to want to be somebody that brings joy to somebody's heart. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Same church. You ever had somebody come across your mind just make you, Does anybody, now tell the truth, shame the devil. You ever have somebody come your direction, you try to find a way to avoid them? You ever see somebody approaching, you look at your watch and go, I don't have time for this conversation. Paul said, that's not Epaphroditus. This man's been such a blessing to me. That's why I'm sending him to you. His character says whenever he shows up, people are going to delight in it. And then he gives them a sincere charge. This is where we'll close. Receive him. Receive him. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord. Did you hear that? Here's what Paul's saying. Embrace the people that enter your life that are good for you. Listen. When God brings people into your life that walk with him, receive them. I need about more than three of you to say amen. Because the problem in our lives is we are too quick to embrace negative influences. It's amazing how long we'll give a gossip microphone time. I'm talking about in our life. How long somebody coming in with negativity can get our ear. And somebody walks up singing the praises of God and speaking the truth in love. And somebody walks up stirring you up to righteousness and provoking you to love and good works. And they're the first person you want to shut down and quiet down. Oh, hush with all that godlessness. Let me tell you something. Paul said, receive him. You need a man like that in Philippi. I think this is what this young man was saying tonight. He said, at this time in my life, I'm glad for good friends that love the Lord and therefore love me. Are you that kind of a friend? Are you looking for those kinds of friends? Be careful when you spend all week long gravitating to people that are negative, that are disseminating foolishness. And your ear is so tuned. Some of it you can't help. Some of it is part of your job description. But the moment you get off the clock, the moment your surroundings are chosen by your prerogative, I would suggest you find somebody walking with God. You fill your mind with something that points you to God. You let meditation in your mind be stimulated by godly things. And by God, listen to me, I'm telling you, thank God for the Bible. Thank God for music. Thank God for church. Thank God for being in a good Christian home. But we need godly people around us that walk with God. Some of you, hear me now. You'll never be the Christian that you're supposed to be until you embrace some relationships with people that can take you somewhere you can't seem to get to on your own. You need friends. And if you're going to start getting friends, you better start being friendly. Receive him. A glad reception. Notice the genuine respect hold him in reputation. Paul says, listen, I'm telling you what he did for me. I'm telling you what he did for me. Here's what he's saying. Treat him with respect because what he did for me, he loved me when I needed him. He was sick himself, but instead of worrying about his problems, he worried about me. Here's Paul kind of giving them a warning. So when he gets there to Philippi, you treat him with the reputation in Philippi, knowing what he did for me. You ever get a call from somebody? Say, I gave somebody your number. I get that all the time. He needs help. You don't know him, but I want you to help him because you know me. You listen to me? Read Paul's epistle to Philemon. You, right? And Paul's talking to Philemon about Philemon's slave Onesimus, who had stolen from Philemon and gone to prison and hooked up with Paul. And somehow by hooking up with Paul, Paul hooked him up with Jesus. And he had become unprofitable to Philemon, but now Paul was sending him back to Philemon, saying he used to be unprofitable, but now he is profitable. And here's what he says to Philemon. When you receive him, and whatever he owes you, don't charge it to him. Put it on my account. He can't pay. Love him because you love me. Ain't that what Jesus did for us? Put it on my account. Put it on my tab. What a friend. What a friend. Paul said, hold him in reputation. And this genuine respect, this glad reception is based on godly reasoning. Here it is. There was a welcome struggle. He was nigh unto death. Huh? For the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. Now, there's a difference in going through a trial because you're in sin. And going through a trial because you're living for God. Okay. One is testing, one is chastisement. Paul said, this fellow wasn't sick because he was in sin. He was sick because of the work of Christ. And yet, his welcome struggle was met with willing selflessness, not regarding his life. Do you ever get around people who just seem to have a way of not putting themselves first? Aren't they refreshing? Don't selfless people make you think more about God? And don't selfish people get on your nerve? Let's be honest. The world's full of them. So are churches. Selfish people. It's all about me. And Paul said, we already got those. He already had people in Philippi that were arguing, ladies that were arguing and couldn't get along, and it was causing disunity. Paul said, this fella that I'm sending back to you, he said, let me tell you something. He could have been worried about himself, but instead he was worried about me. And what a wonderful supply to supply your lack of service toward me. You know the story. Epaphroditus was not only a blessing to Paul by ministering to him, but Epaphroditus was also the messenger that Philippians sent to carry that gift to Paul that he needed. Here's what Paul said. Here was a man who, despite his sickness, left you to come to me because he felt like my need was more important to him than his own. What a blessing. That's the kind of person I want to be. You know, we have some people at Crossroads Baptist Church that I've gone to see in the hospital. I've called them in their time of struggle. I've spoken to them at their lowest time. And I did those gestures for the express purpose of being a blessing. And I've often found that those to whom I was attempting to be a blessing ended up being a blessing to me. I left the hospital room having intended to sow the seed of encouragement and left having the seed of encouragement sown in me. There's just something about them. They're laying on a hospital bed, still worried about somebody else. They're going through a trial, still checking on somebody else. They're hurting and they're still helping. They're suffering and they're still serving. They're maligned, but they're still ministers. They're good to have around. Every church needs one of those people. Paul said, I'm sending him. I'm sending him because he's going to be a blessing to you. And I know he's going to be a blessing to you because he's been a blessing to me. Can I tell you something? We can pick you up, put a blindfold on our eyes, and point to a map and let it land on a city and take you and drop you in that city wherever our finger landed. And I'm telling you something. Regardless what color you are, regardless what kind of clothes you have on, regardless of what background you are ethnically, your character will show up wherever you go. You hear me? I'm not talking about your clothes. I'm not talking about your car. I'm not talking about your hairdo. I'm talking about your character. And since your character follows you wherever you go, here's my suggestion. I think you ought to spend more time every day building your character and not just building your personality, your preferences, or your aspirations. Because no matter where you go, your character will follow you. Paul said, I'm stuck in prison, but the next best thing to me being in Philippi is my man being in Philippi. Because the character he demonstrated to me in jail, he'll demonstrate to you in church. I hope that your character will be so commendable that when people can't get to where they want to go, they'll settle instead for sending you. Father, help us. Somebody needs us. Bad. Somebody's going through a trial right now that needs us. Somebody's facing a calamity right now that needs us. While your head's bowed, eyes closed, who needs you? Pastor, I can't really tell who needs me because I'm so messed up, so broke up, I'm going through listen to me. So was Onesimus. So was Epaphroditus. But Epaphroditus' trial, although, listen to me, this was no flu, this was no cold, this was no little virus. He was on the brink of death. And yet, knocking on death's door, he was ministering to Paul. Could I tell you, perhaps it is your ministry to people that will sustain you in your most difficult trial. Loving on somebody will keep you realizing how much God loves you. We need some Epaphroditus who won't be stuck on their stuff. They'll be stuck on somebody else's burdens, somebody else's needs. Let's stand together. Father, would you bless this invitation in Jesus' name? Amen.